This is Jay Sekulow. Now we have a congresswoman saying that the United States Congress is controlled by Jewish money.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
To be going back to that old slander and smear that somehow Jews are using money to pay people off, it's absolutely shameful. And I don't know why the Democratic leadership has not spoken out before this.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
When they stay silent, they're just as guilty. And I think this will not be the end of this. And if they do not take action, I think you'll see action from myself that this cannot sustain itself. It's unacceptable in this country, especially when you sat back and you thought about and you listened to what this country went through in World War II.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, well, welcome to Monday. So here's what we've got. A reporter writes in a tweet, GOP leader Kevin McCarthy threatens punishment for Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib over their criticism of Israel. It's stunning how much time U.S. political leaders spend defending a foreign nation, even if it means attacking free speech rights of Americans. That's what he wrote. This is what Congresswoman Omar wrote back. It's all about the Benjamins, baby, which is a reference to, that was a rap song. The Benjamins is a reference to money, and this is another one of these Jewish money controlling Congress. And has she been brought up, censured? Has leadership of the Democratic Party spoken out on this? No. Now, some people are speaking out. Chelsea Clinton was not happy about it, Hillary and Bill Clinton's daughter. She sent out a very strong statement. But as the leadership of the Democratic Party said, this is anti-Semitism, it is anti-Semitic. It's not just anti-Israel, as they say. And the Jewish money line that this congresswoman is bringing should be speaking volumes as to what we're now dealing with. This is now the acceptable norm within a political party in the United States. And now we've got a lot of Democrats that listen to this broadcast, and I want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. And I want your reaction to this. Let's explain it. Let's kind of lay it out, Jordan.
Okay, so this is a new congresswoman, controversial. She wears the hijab. She is a Somali. She immigrated from Somalia. Somali Muslim has made comments kind of in, defending al-Shabaab. I wouldn't say supporting, but kind of made, you know, putting the responsibility elsewhere for their horrendous actions. This is a violent terror group linked to ISIS. She's put in comments as she was kind of a community organizer in the Somali American community, which is very large in her district in Minnesota, and that's how she would get elected. And her district probably is not offended by this. So, I mean, it's not going to come from her district necessarily because of the impact there. So even when a group of Somali young guys were arrested for trying to join ISIS, she put in an official comment with the court saying, go light on them. They don't understand. You know, this whole idea that we're responsible for terrorism, that it's U.S. political actions to blame us, not the actual terrorist. So she's got ties to very radical groups, ties to very radical ideology, and fresh ties because she comes from the region directly. And instead of someone who realizes she's fled, her family has fled places like Somalia because of radical Islamic terror groups, embracing it in a country that feels safe to do so and blaming that country. Now, again, American citizen, duly elected in an area that, again, it's got a huge Somali-American community. But I don't think her religion, you can't let that excuse this and say, oh, well, she's a Muslim, so she, you know, it's not surprising. That I don't think other Muslims would like that either, that the idea that this isn't what we should assume. But it's immediate from her. So she's taking the initiative to respond to do this on Twitter as well. So she's taking this initiative to start this discussion. I think that's the interesting part. She's not being backed into a corner. So she's actively going out with this, and it's blowing a dog whistle.
Yeah. So let me say this. We want to know your reaction to this new form of anti-Semitism. But just a couple of weeks ago, we had the doctor that was at Cleveland Clinic. Remember that one? Now we've got a member of Congress going after Jews and money. Take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're going to get off a letter to Nancy Pelosi, the leadership of the House of Representatives, asking that she be censured for what she said. And that is an action that can be taken. She's on the Foreign Affairs Committee. 1-800-684-3110.
The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. It even removes legal protections for babies born alive from botched abortions. Now other states are trying to do the same thing. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've assembled our team to fight back. We're preparing to send Freedom of Information Act letters in an effort to expose exactly how involved Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry were in pushing this new law forward. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. We're mobilizing to ensure that these laws cannot be used to target pro-life doctors and nurses and force them to perform abortions. And we're examining other legal angles as other states look to pass similar laws. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
So Jewish advocacy groups are calling on Congresswoman Ilhan Omar to apologize for suggesting that a pro-Israel lobby was buying off lawmakers. It's all about the Benjamins, is what she put in her tweet. Did she take the tweet down, Jordan?
No. She's doubling down on these tweets, and that's the unique part is that she responded again. So when she writes, "It's all about the Benjamins, baby," in response, she didn't have to respond to that. You know, so she took the initiative to respond to a reporter who's been, you know, he's linked to Snowden, he's a provocateur, and she kind of fell into exactly what he wanted, which is dialogue back and forth of elected officials. So then someone writes back again, "I would love to know." And she puts her official Twitter handle out there, Ilhan MN from Minnesota. Who thinks is paying American politicians to be pro-Israel? Though I can guess, bad form, Congresswoman. That's the second anti-Semitic trope you've tweeted. And she writes, she responds to that, to someone calling her anti-Semitic. Who does she think? And she writes, AIPAC. That's another whistle. AIPAC is a bipartisan pro-Israel group. Very bipartisan. Very careful in their approach to how they engage the government process, I would say, because I wouldn't even call it political process because they work with politicians, but in a very careful way. But again, this is a dog whistle to the conspiracy theorists, to hate groups.
Yeah,
I mean, you're asking for it when you use All About the Benjamins and AIPAC together coming from a Muslim background, she should know better.
She knows exactly what she's doing.
Yeah.
I got my language wrong. I mean, you got the genius governor of Virginia calling slaves indentured servants as if that makes it more palatable. Well, I mean, what are these people doing? So, you know, Harry, you were talking before.
All Democrats.
It's
all inside the Democrat Party.
Well, look,
all comes after this abortion debate opens up. And you get to see what they truly feel about people, which goes back to this whole idea of who was behind all of that.
Well,
the abortion movement, which is very racially charged. And I think sometimes
it's eugenics.
You got a Somali Muslim who, I mean,
is a member of Congress, though, and has not been condemned by the Democratic Party and not taken off committees.
No, Nancy Pelosi put her on the Foreign Affairs Committee.
She is on the Foreign Affairs Committee. Now, Harry, before we went on, we were during a break, you had talked about, I asked you kind of the scope of this, and I want to get ready to play the one we just heard on CNN, where the congresswoman would not condemn it. And then we've got one where, we got a couple of these. That where they're not condemning it. But Harry, give me your sense of, in kind of a broader picture, what you think this is.
Well, first, I think, as Jordan correctly notes, this move simply exposes the fact that bigotry lives deeply and loudly within the left wing of the Democratic Party. And the Democratic leadership seems paralyzed to actually condemn bigotry. And in many respects, bigotry is expanding. It's impossible to ignore the comments made by Governor Northam yesterday in defense of arguably the indefensible. He defended first, essentially, infanticide. Now he's defending some version, if you will, of the history of slavery in Virginia. And he claims that he has the moral compass. He has the moral superiority sufficient to heal Virginia. And it is clear that many Democrats are affected or infected, I should say, by the same poison. And so Representative Omar, Representative Tlaib, they are simply the latest example of the failure of the Democratic Party to condemn anti-Semitism within their midst. Many Democrats who are running for president now refuse to condemn BDS. Why is that?
I want to ask every one of these Democrats that are running, I think you should ask everybody that's running, your version, do you agree with Congresswoman Omar that AIPAC and the Jewish money, the Benjamins, that's what the money references to, are controlling the Democratic Party or members of Congress? Because this isn't the new anti-Semitism, by the way. This is as old as anti-Semitism itself. We're taking your calls and comments on this at 1-800-684-3110. Wes, your reaction to this?
Yeah, you know, the Democrats, the left-wing extreme Democrats, their true colors come out. In the last week and a half, Jay, it's almost like they've been given Versed or some sort of a truth serum. You have the governor of Virginia calling for basically the euthanization of a baby if it survives an abortion. You have the extreme socialism represented by Ocasio-Cortez. You have this anti-border security group. Right now, the talks are broken down in this committee trying to come up with a plan that the president will sign because the Democrats on the committee want to cap the number of violent criminals that ICE can contain at the border as if they want other criminals to go free. And then you have this anti-Semitic comments going on as well. The true colors, what some of these people truly believe is coming out from time to time. They will apologize. They will backtrack. From time to time, some of them will delete a tweet. But it's like they're not at all sorry that they said it, that this is their opinion. They're sorry that they got called out on it. But the truth eventually comes out. And there is a left-wing extreme part of the Democratic Party that is obvious. It's there. And the Democrat leadership at this point is not willing to call them out on it and to discipline their own caucus.
I mean, I think the whole thing is disgusting, and I think this needs to be called out. Now, listen to the CNN has been on this story, and they're asking people and listen to these questions other and responses. Democrats. Other Democrats, listen to it.
Well, I say that sure, it's common knowledge that Republicans will. I mean, they do take campaign contributions from everything, everyone and every, you know, corporate PAC money and gas and oil industry money and all of these things, you know, alluded
to anti-Semitism.
But
AIPAC, she points to AIPAC, and AIPAC doesn't contribute to politicians. And even, I mean,
that's
Democrats, your Democratic colleagues, many of them are speaking out about what she has said.
Right. I don't have a comment on that currently.
Didn't she follow it up and say, she did. Let's play the next one.
Because you don't think the comment was anti-Semitic?
Well, I think the comment alluded, what you read me, I didn't read it, but what you just read me, it alludes to campaign contributions. It doesn't allude to anything else but that.
But it speaks to a longstanding veiled anti-Semitism that many folks have talked about over the years about Jews running things because they have money.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to that. I don't subscribe to that.
But I don't condemn it either. This is the problem. I'm glad we played both of those bites for you. I'm going to play more. I want to know where Nancy Pelosi is on this. She's the Speaker of the House. This is a member of the United States Congress. Pulling up anti-Semitism would go back to the Dreyfus affair. I mean, this kind of goes further than that. But historically, this is no different than what was going on 150 years ago in England. Well, 200 years ago now, where Jews weren't allowed to vote. Weren't able to seat in the 1850s. They weren't able to have a seat in the House of Commons or the House of Lords. It took Benjamin Disraeli to get that changed. But this is the nature of it. So now it's Jews and money controlling Congress. And a member of the United States Congress who happens to be Muslim can get away with it. And is she getting away with it because she's Muslim? Is that the free pass she gets? Well,
she gets away with a lot because she's a Muslim.
Yeah.
And because she's a Somali immigrant. So, I mean, there's bizarre things even how she got here. And then are the reporters who looked into that, you know, it's all the pushback. How dare you look into my, immigration history? Because there was kind of looked like maybe marriages for immigration status. Let's put it that way. And multiple marriage, which for someone from a serious, strict Islamic background from Somalia would not have multiple marriages usually already at this young age. She does. And she had one connected to her immigration to the United States. She's supported, again, put in like a good word for Somali American men who were arrested for trying to join ISIS, trying to say, you
what
know, go
say
light,
about that?
Go light on them.
Yep.
You don't understand. It's all that idea. You don't understand. You don't understand what's pushing all of this kind of, and her anti-Semitic remarks go back to when she becomes a community activist inside the Somali American community, which has been a community that's actually been dangerous in the United States,
yep,
because of the radicalization, to be quite honest. And there's been a serious problem in this community. Instead of addressing that, she is celebrating the problematic aspects because she's doubling down on actually the stereotype of all of them, which is that they are radical Muslims who have built this community inside Minnesota where these kind of views are okay to have.
It's not okay to have it if you remember
Israel
the United States
hypnotized
Congress.
The world. May Allah awaken the people.
Yeah, read that again.
I mean, that sounds
read
like
that again.
That's pretty scary.
So
Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of
when
Israel.
When was this?
2012, when she becomes a community activist and starts popping up on
so
the radar.
So what do we have here? I mean, this isn't latent anti-Semitism. This is right out there.
I think you're absolutely right. So Democrats are prepared to use the claim of racism, in my opinion, to paralyze their opponents while refusing to face the deeply and historically embedded racism in their own history. And so I think that is a huge problem and it needs to be addressed.
I want to hear the leadership of the Democratic Party speak out on this and condemn it. That's all. Condemn it. Take her off the Foreign Relations Committee. Or a censor. A censure. They can do that. Just take, you can do that on a voice vote. See what happens. All right, we'll take your calls and comments. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. It's not the new anti-Semitism, folks. It's old as the Bible. But here we are in the United States of America.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. It even removes legal protections for babies born alive from botched abortions. Now other states are trying to do the same thing. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've assembled our team to fight back. We're preparing to send Freedom of Information Act letters in an effort to expose exactly how involved Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry were in pushing this new law forward. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the the New York law. We're mobilizing to ensure that these laws cannot be used to target pro-life doctors and nurses and force them to perform abortions. And for examining other legal angles as other states look to pass similar laws. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org.
So, Glenn Greenwald sends out a tweet. GOP leader Kevin McCarthy threatens punishment for Congresswoman Omar and Congresswoman Tlaib over criticism of Israel. It's stunning how much time U.S. political leaders spend defending a foreign nation, even if it means attacking free speech rights of other Americans. To which Congresswoman Omar responds, "It's all about the Benjamins, baby," which is a reference to Jews and money. Which, by the way, she's doubled down on, thinking that's appropriate. She's a member of the United States House of Representatives and serves on the Foreign Relations Committee, Foreign Affairs Committee. She should not be. Congress should be speaking out. So should the leadership of the Democratic Party. But they can't, because even the rank-and-file members, now some have condemned it. But here's a perfect example. This is, again, CNN, Jim Sciutto.
Jewish money is somehow controlling certain Democrats and people's positions toward Israel. And there are those who look at that and say, isn't that just like saying George Soros is pulling the strings here, or Michael Bloomberg is pulling the strings here? Veiled anti-Semitism, they'll note.
I wouldn't take it as anti-Semitism. I would say that she probably objects to the fact that when it comes to issues around foreign policy, or when it comes to issues specifically to Israel, there are a lot of interests, a lot of folks who make campaign contributions based on a person's position on Israel. I think we ought to be careful not to construe that in anything other than a concern about the fact that money has undue influence on political decision-making.
Yeah, this is the same congresswoman who said that would Allah awaken their eyes because of Israel's oppression. I mean, this is another tweet she said, which, by the way, is still up on her Twitter feed. So this is, you know, you could say whatever you want, but the reality is this is what you're dealing with. We're taking your calls and comments, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We're getting comments coming in on Facebook as well, and I want to read, there was one that came in I want to pull for you, because I think it kind of said it. And this was, how dangerous is the new left-wing movement for American politics? Because, Harry, you put this in a broader perspective. So this is let's take Democrat, Republican out. Let's just call it the new left. I think what Katina on Facebook said is a good question. How dangerous is the new left-wing movement for American politics?
I think it's very, very dangerous. And so I think you can link the anti-Semitism of Representative Omar with the anti-Semitism, arguably, of Rashida Tlaib, and with the socialist policies of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, which is implicitly linked to Karl Marx and his corrupt and highly discriminatory mind. And then you can also link it to the radical support for abortion or infanticide, which disproportionately has an adverse effect on African Americans in the United States. So the Democrats have this incredible history of embedded racism, which they now wish to ignore while proposing new programs or new opposition to BDS. It's important to keep in mind that formerly support for Israel was a bipartisan affair. That is no longer the case, and yet the Democratic leadership seems paralyzed by the left and the movement in their party to go further and further left, so they refuse to condemn. So you look at Dale Kilday. He's from the state of Michigan. I was born in the state of Michigan. And he used to be a kind of middle-of-the-road centrist Democrat. Now he's essentially apologizing for comments made by Representative Omar. Those comments are simply undefensible.
Well, not really. Yet, and he's not really apologizing.
Yeah, I mean, because guys like him, older white guy in the Democratic Party, let's just be honest, kind of blah, middle of the road, who used to kind of be a deal maker, is now could be pushed out. So I think he makes a stance like this to try and seem hip relevant. And new. You know, yeah, relevant basically, because he's Flint, Michigan. A lot of those activists were in Flint. If you go back, a lot of this group, because of the water crisis there, easily could primary someone like him. to put in a more radical liberal. So instead, you got to choose which side. And what? So they're actually, these moderate Democrats are saying, we'll befriend this group. And I think at a time when they are under so much scrutiny for racial remarks, public remarks in Virginia, how they're handling the allegations of sexual assault, how they're handling race issues, Northam again, every unreal. Time the man opens his mouth, he makes another statement which is offensive to America.
Anybody. Right.
Yeah, it's offensive to America and our history and to reality. And so, and then you've got her, instead of focusing on that, as someone who is literally immigrating from Africa and going through that experience, she's not talking about Ralph Northam. She's blaming American Jews for the problems of America. And I think that again, this is a lot of people like that. If you line them up, you've got this bizarre.
Yeah.
It's almost like the old Democratic Party, well, which is where they were.
What they're trying, I think you're right, though. Some of these have been there a long time that are now on the fringe, and when I say the fringe of influence, not on the fringe politically, are now trying to become relevant. How do you become relevant? You join in the chorus of anti-Semitism. You join in the chorus of radical of pro-abortion views. You join in the chorus of what's happening in Virginia, which is nothing. I mean, you join in the chorus of this, and the leadership of the Democratic Party says nothing. But I don't even like calling it Democratic Party. This radical left-wing agenda is really, Wes, very, very dangerous a host of levels.
On a multiple layer of levels. This is not the Democratic Party of my parents or my grandparents. There is this undeniable leftward.
I don't know if it's the Democratic Party of my relatives that are Democrats. Here's the question that I can't. How in the world are American Jews, and I count myself in that group, mm-hmm. how do you tolerate this? Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you respond to it is with more speech. I agree. You got to come back and say, this is what we're doing. We'll also mobilize, and we'll address it with Congress. But why is this okay? It's all about the Benjamins? To the Jewish community in 2019, in a party that political, but I don't even want to call it a party, this left-wing agenda? That's why I don't understand the marching with the Islamists. What have you lost your mind? What are you doing? Self-inflicted in that sense. Go ahead.
Yeah, and like we talked about in the break, this is the same congresswoman that after Al-Shabaab attacks in Africa said that when anyone...
She's trying to explain it away.
Yeah, when anyone's attacked by terrorists, you should do some self-reflection and basically ask, did I do anything to bring this on?
Let's play that.
Usually most people want to not look internal and see what, mm-hmm. you know, what...
Face them,
about their actions that makes another react. You know, for us, it's always, I must have not done anything. You know, why is this happening to me? And nobody wants to take accountability of how these are byproducts of the actions of, you know, our involvement in other countries.
I've had enough. This is now a member of the United States Foreign Affairs Committee in the United States Congress.
Who excuses people who are taking innocent life.
Yeah.
I mean, she's actually making an excuse for them. You also have Rashida Tlaib, the other Islamic congresswoman, who is a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, who is also on the record as being pro-BDS. She's for health care for all, and she's for abolishing ICE, another one of the colleagues in Congress. There is this radical leftward drift in the Democratic Party that no one is calling them out on.
I guess they figure it's going to work. I just don't see it. All right, we're taking your calls. We're here for another 30 minutes, 1-800-684-3110. A lot of comments coming in by Facebook and Periscope, but we will take calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, you get that at Facebook, Periscope, or ACLJ.org. Also, support the work of the ACLJ.
Yeah. Again, go to ACLJ.org and give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And go to ACLJ.org. A lot of information to keep you updated there. We'll be right back.
The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
To be going back to that old slander and smear that somehow Jews are using money to pay people off, it's absolutely shameful. And I don't know why the Democratic leadership has not spoken out before this.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So some Democrats are speaking out against Congresswoman Omar, but not many. One, Tom Suozzi.
Says you a lot. If you don't know their name.
I hope I pronounced it correctly.
The random. This is what he said.
Representative Omar Chuchi yesterday went too far to suggest that pro-Israel support is all about the Benjamins, and her follow-up that she's referring to AIPAC is not only inaccurate, but conjures up the worst anti-Semitic stereotypes. Where is Nancy Pelosi on this? Where is the House? Where is the leaders that are running for president of the United States? Where's Senator Spartacus on this? Cory Booker. Where is Klobuchar, who made her announcement today? I mean, where
Chuck
are they
Schumer,
on this?
You know, you could go through the whole list.
Well, Elizabeth Warren, where is she on this? I mean, I like to know
they have to respond to this now.
They are going to support Omar. They're going to defend
it. They're going to use the
comment. We're misinterpreting.
Yeah, we're misinterpreting. But the problem is, you look at who she is, and you can't misinterpret it. So she's a left-wing Democrat, radical, Muslim, Somali immigrant in a Somali area, in Keith Ellison's old congressional seat. I mean, come on. You put it all together. She's defended terrorist attacks, excused terrorist attacks, excused people trying to join ISIS. And when people have looked into, including the Associated Press, her background, you know, it's I'm not going to respond to that trash. I'm not going to respond to this, you know, trash from you using the race and religious card. And I mean, from other Muslims too. I mean, is this how you want to be perceived in the United States of America?
They don't care.
As some kind of like a sleeper cell group that is anti-American.
There are a lot of Muslims that are calling for reform. This would be a good place to start. Right here at the United States Congress with a member, Wes, of the Foreign Affairs Committee.
Yeah, and this is a slam not only to Jewish people, it is a slam to her colleagues in Congress that they're basically taking bribes, and that's the only reason they're pro-Israel is because someone is paying them. So it's a slam to her colleagues as well. You know, I was brought up and educated to respect all religion. I have lived in the Middle East. I respect the Muslim faith, the Jewish faith, the Christian faith. However, if a Jewish person or a Christian were to criticize, even in an oblique sort of way, the Muslim faith, the outcry from the leadership in Congress would be deafening.
Yes.
And there is deafening silence right
it
now.
It is complete, Harry, it's complete silence. And the silence here is acquiescence. The silence is approval. So what we're going to do is we're going to go on record. We got a petition up at ACLJ.org. We're going to send a letter to Nancy Pelosi and just say, you know what action are you taking here? There is a congressional, and we'll get Van on this tomorrow, I'm sure. There are action that Congress can take. They could say, you know what, this is inappropriate. They could censure. They could remove her from a committee. But she's doubling down on this. Like like your governor in Virginia, who says, I shouldn't say slavery. I need to say indentured servants. I mean, what planet are these people coming from?
The Democratic Party.
Yeah.
It's far from clear that they are living on a planet, some might add. So the real question, Jay, I think, is can you be a progressive without hating Israel? Can you be a progressive without defending radical abortion rules or excusing progressivism's close and embedded history with eugenics? So that is the question that we need to ask mainstream Democratic leaders. Mainstream Democratic leaders seem increasingly paralyzed by their success during the midterm elections. And so now they don't know how to respond to the new left in their own midst.
This is quite an interesting moment in U.S. history. And it'll be very interesting to see what the progressive left does with this. Again, I'm going to take Republican, Democrat, either. Call it the progressive left. Is this the direction that the country goes? Or is this a fringe movement that should be held accountable? A Zionist movement should be held accountable. And one way to hold accountable is that, you know what, we don't appreciate anti-Semitism. I will give this to Chelsea Clinton. She spoke out quickly on this. Married to a Jewish guy. She's got Jewish blood in her kids. So I'm glad she spoke out. This is obnoxious and outrageous.
The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. It even removes legal protections for babies born alive from botched abortions. Now, other states are trying to do the same thing. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've assembled our team to fight back. We're preparing to send Freedom of Information Act letters in an effort to expose exactly how involved Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry were in pushing this new law forward. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. We're mobilizing to ensure that these laws cannot be used to target pro-life doctors and nurses and force them to perform abortions. And for examining other legal angles as other states look to pass similar laws. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls on this issue. Congresswoman Omar, who, again, from Minnesota, is part of this new members of Congress, pretty radical left. And of course, always bizarrely, the radical left, this happened to the Women's March as well. Remember the radical left Women's March was all coming together, hundreds of thousands of women in the streets. What brought that movement down? You may wonder, hey, where did that go? Anti-Semitism within the group brought down the entire leadership to where cities didn't want to be responsible and towns and other activists on the left, they didn't want to be part of this Women's March anymore. Because of the same kind of ideology that was bred from within. But you see it time and time again, far left, radical Islam. It doesn't seem like it would work together very well.
But it does. I mean, that's what's so bizarre to me.
They work hand in hand.
But I just, that's why I said earlier, I don't understand the attraction between radical Islamic organizations or individuals that are affiliated with Farrakhan and progressives. No, I mean, you do see it, but it's self-annihilating. I mean, and you got like the gay and lesbian groups are marching with the Sharias. I don't understand this. They, you know.
Yeah, defending Al-Shabaab, I mean, try to be a gay person there in Mogadishu.
Yeah.
And see how long you last there. She, of course, would. She probably would march, though. That's the bizarre thing is these. I don't even know if they're for real sometimes. The way that they respond. I mean, it's almost like hiding behind the hijab because that prevents you from. All criticism. Real association criticism, yeah.
Yeah.
So you put that on, and suddenly no one's going to ask you questions. Or if they do, they're being not just racist but Islamophobic. So doubling down, and you can hide behind that. And I think no other member of Congress would get away with this. But the Democrats, it's the same way they're treating Ralph Northam. He's going to still be the governor of Virginia. They are doubling down on these racial issues. And instead of getting rid of the bad actors, or at least doing what they can,
you're not going to be able to throw them out of Congress.
No,
okay.
You can go on the record and say this is the outlier. This is not the mainstream thought, and you can strip them of their committee seats.
They're not right now. They won't even speak.
If Nancy Pelosi doesn't do that, she's endorsing this.
Yeah, well, I think silence is an endorsement. Silence is deafening. Silence is acquiescence. Silence is an affirmation. So the leadership within the Democratic Party, I mean, the leadership of the Congress should be speaking out against this, but it really needs to be coming from the party where this congresswoman resides, and that's within the Democratic Party. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, Pam's calling in from Illinois on line 5. Pam, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Pam.
Thank you for taking my call. Yep. This is my first time I've called into a radio Great. Program, so I'm very nervous.
Oh, don't be nervous. You're doing fine.
Well, I'm just, it's abhorrent at what's going on. I was a Democrat until the early 90s after the first term of President Clinton, and I've watched the demise of this, you know, of this great party, and they're going. I remember I had a friend who was a World War II vet, and he said that the next time this country's overtaken, it's going to be from within. And it's so evident. How in the world do we elect these people is beyond me. I just can't imagine. And this woman with the way she's thinking.
And understand this, Pam. She's doubling down. It's not like she's running away from this. She's not saying you're misinterpreting. You know, other members of her party are saying you're misinterpreting what she's saying. She's not.
Yep.
She's not misinterpreting. She's not saying you're misinterpreting. She said it's all about the Benjamins. And that's a reference to Jews and money in the context of what she was saying. And she said AIPAC. So that, I mean, she's not.
It's interesting, too. I mean, the money thing is an interesting point because it's her religious, actually, background has the most to go throw around. If you put together the Muslim world, you want to talk about money being thrown around and interest groups and activist groups. They've done a pretty good job in a time when you could be have some real insensitivity in the world because of terrorism and the radical Islam. Who do you think is making sure that all these groups, it's the money coming in from that part of the world. And again, this is kind of idea. Is anybody going to say that to her? No. No one would ever say that to her in an interview. What about the fact that the Saudis have billions of dollars? What about the fact that the Turks have billions of dollars? What about, I mean, go through the list of different kinds of Muslims from different backgrounds and all sorts of interest groups. But no one's going to say that to her.
Let's go ahead.
And again, I think it is this hiding behind her hijab. I really do. I think that's her whole attitude and her whole
persona.
Yes, you can't ask the next question to her because she gets in that Farrakhan kind of don't question me mode.
They reach out to Farrakhan like that's his statements are acceptable. I mean, they're not. All right, let's go ahead and take a call.
Brett's call's not ready yet. So again, it's 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Take a listen. This is Congressman Lee Zeldin, is a Republican.
He's speaking out,
laying it all out.
She needs to understand that BDS movement that she strongly supports, the founder of it was anti-Semitic in the worst ways. Louis Farrakhan, Tamika Mallory, Linda Sarsour, individuals who have embraced these, who are now members of Congress. We're seeing anti-Israel, anti-Semitic hate infiltrating American politics. It's infiltrating college campuses and the halls of Congress. And if I'm not outspoken about it, then all you're hearing is just one side of it. And it needs to be confronted.
Glad Lee Zeldin spoke out on this, but I'll tell you something. It needs to be coming from that side of the other side of the aisle, though, Wes.
Yeah, the anti-Semitism is pervasive.
Yeah,
I was reading just this morning when Representative Tlaib, who's from Michigan, when she was elected last November, she had a big celebratory dinner with her family. One of her guests of honor at that dinner was Abbas Hamadah, and he posted a picture of them all together at dinner. Abbas Hamadah on his Twitter feed says Israel does not have the right to exist, and he has equated Nazis with Zionists. There is, in the Democratic Party, I think it's being hijacked, but it's being hijacked right now with the complicity of its leadership, all because I think it's their attempt in their minds to stay politically relevant. It's political expediency. But, Jay, I really, truly believe that with most Americans, they do not agree with this. They are out of step with most Americans. And I think if this continues, and I have no doubt that it will, in the next election, the Republicans will probably take over the House again because this is not where most Americans are.
This is bad for the country. You know, forget Republican, Democrat. This is bad, Harry, for the country.
Absolutely. And I think it's impossible, in my opinion, to ignore the history of progressive thought. Essentially, progressive thought believes in the subordination of certain kinds of people. So if you go and look at American history in the 30s and in the 40s, it's impossible to ignore the fact that during the FDR administration, for instance, he created virtual slave camps in Florida, which were populated by African-American males. This is clear and unmistakable history. It's been written about by the current dean of the Virginia School of Law. And yet the Democrats continue to ignore this history of subordination, and it now continues again in Virginia with Governor Northam, who wants the lieutenant governor to resign while he remains in office.
Because he thinks he has the moral authority to heal the Commonwealth.
Yes, because he has a superior moral compass. And I think this has been the problem with many progressives. They assert superiority in having the right moral compass, and they refuse to look deeply at their own history, their own embedded, unmistakable connection with subordination. And it continues, and then now the Democratic leadership continues to ignore it. And so I think it's very, very possible to assert a connection between their opposition, the opposition of progressives, to the anti-BDS movement, in essence, their support for BDS, anti-Semitism, eugenics, and a whole raft of subordinating policies which come directly and unmistakably from the left, in my experience.
I think that this entire scenario of what's going on with Congresswoman Omar is symptomatic of another deeper problem. And that is the progressive left has their political agenda and approach, which is an anathema to a constitutional republic. Period. Because with all of the yelling and screaming and political hysteria that goes on in the body politic, which is part of the body politic, the reality is when you look at what she said, and we'll take calls when we come back from the break on this. And I know we've got a couple of, we got an opposed call. I want to take that when we come back, but I want to give it an adequate time. But I will tell you my view, and I'll be very blunt on this. You call it whatever you want. Anti-Semitism is what it is. And I think that we have to look deeply with, you know, the congresswoman said we need to look deeply within ourselves why this is happening. Yeah, we need to look deeply within why this is deemed appropriate and acceptable. So we go from socialism to anti-Semitism to the vitriol and the disgust that's going on in the Commonwealth of Virginia right now. I mean, the governor uses the phrase indentured servants as if that makes slavery more palatable. He says it was more historically accurate. No, slavery pretty much sums it up. By the way, that's about as old as the Bible. So that's how I look at it. But you got to call accountability here. And I want to see the leadership within the Democratic Party call some people accountable. We'll take your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Got an opposed call. We'll take that as well from Brett in Oregon. Take that call when we come back in just a moment. We'll take your call to 1-800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. It even removes legal protections for babies born alive from botched abortions. Now other states are trying to do the same thing. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've assembled our team to fight back. We're preparing to send Freedom of Information Act letters in an effort to expose exactly how involved Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry were in pushing this new law forward. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. We're mobilizing to ensure that these laws cannot be used to target pro-life doctors and nurses and force them them to perform abortions, and for examining other legal angles as other states look to pass similar laws. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org.
Last segment, 1-800-684-3110. Brett's calling from Oregon. He's opposed. Brett, go ahead. You're on the air. Hi, Brett.
Hello.
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Yes. As an American Jew, I don't quite understand a lot of the assertions that are being made on this radio station.
You don't?
And
Which one do you not understand?
Well, basically everything. I mean, I've heard everything from tying left-wing ideals to what was it? You said it was.
Did you read Congresswoman Ilhan Omar's tweet?
Are you familiar? Can you tell me her tweet?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm very familiar with her.
You're a fan?
What?
You like her? You think she's good?
Do I like her?
You like her positions?
I don't like some of her positions.
Yeah, do you like her position about Jews? Have you read her what she said about let's go back. Let's start with the here's the most recent one. One member of the media said GOP leader Kevin McCarthy threatens punishment for Congresswoman Omar and Rashida Tlaib over criticism of Israel. It's stunning how much time U.S. political leaders spend defending a foreign nation, even if it means attacking free speech rights of Americans. And then Congresswoman Omar says, it's all about the Benjamins, baby. You said you're an American Jew. How does that make you feel?
Yes, I'm fine with that.
You're fine with that. So you think Jewish money is controlling the United States Congress?
No. I don't think that's what she meant.
Well, no. She said it. And then she said, who are you talking about? She said, AIPAC, the American Israel political, AIPAC. You know who AIPAC is, right?
AIPAC is a very strong group, yes. And I do not support them whatsoever.
Well, I understand you don't want to support them, but do you believe that, first of all, they don't give out campaign contributions?
Nonpartisan. I mean, the truth is that AIPAC, it frustrates oftentimes pro-Israel groups with their nonpartisanship. Because they are so careful not to overly engage. Now, they have defended themselves in this instance, but they are very careful. There are pro-Israel groups, and then there's AIPAC, and they're kind of in between. It's not saying they're not supportive of Israel, but I think that this idea, again, you can be opposed to a group, but the truth is she's putting out the dog whistles, Brett. You understand the racial whistles that signal hate groups, that signal groups that would inspire someone to go shoot up a synagogue because of this kind of idea of this money that's floating around, or the people are controlled by this entity of this secret hand that's guiding all these interest groups on both sides of the aisle and the media and this and that. And she's gone back and said that Israel's hypnotized the world. The Muslim world has got a lot more money than American Jews or Israel combined. They can try and hypnotize all they want, but they choose violence instead. That's their choice in those communities. But the idea here that you don't like her, but you do. I mean, this is, again, I think that this is the problem with the left right now.
But Brett, here's people you may identify. So Joshua Zeitz, who is? Let's find out who Joshua Zeitz is.
We're gonna, like a college professor.
I think So he says journalist. I'm one of those American Jews who opposes the occupation, laments Israel's anti-democratic drift, and doesn't regard the country as especially central to my Jewish identity. And I know exactly what the congresswoman meant. She might as well call us hook-nosed.
Yeah.
So that's from a member of the progressive left who's actually speaking out against this, Brett. But you don't think that's necessary here.
Wait, are you allowing me to speak again?
Yes.
Okay.
I just read you something from Joshua Zeitz, who considers himself progressive left. Let me read it again so you hear it. I'm one of those American Jews, that's what he says, who opposes the occupation, talking about Israel, laments Israel's anti-democratic drift, and doesn't regard the country as especially central to my Jewish identity. And I know exactly what the congresswoman meant. She might as well call us hook-nosed.
Are you scared of what I'm going to say? Is that why you put me on hold? And is that why you don't allow
me
to speak?
You're not on hold. You're on the air.
Okay,
go.
Well, then allow me to speak. Then allow me to speak.
Go. I want you. No filibuster. Answer my question. Go ahead. Do you think that's okay? He Joshua Zeit said it.
You stop talking. I'm talking. That means
Hey, guess what? A new breaking news alert. It's our radio broadcast. You're my guest. So go ahead and speak for a moment.
Now listen to me, okay? If I'm anti-BDSM, if I'm anti-Israeli government, does it make me anti-Semitic?
You don't even know what we're talking. You're not listening to what I'm saying. The person I just quoted, Joshua Zeitz, says all of those things. He's in favor of BDS. He's Jewish. He doesn't like Israel's current status. He says they're drifting to an anti-democratic state in his view. Having said all of that, he said, I know exactly what the congresswoman meant. She might as well call us hook-nosed. And I'm asking you, Brett, do you agree with that statement from Joshua Zeitz, who identifies with the same positions you do?
Came into power in Israel, and they took over. So that's number one. You could be against
say
the
that again.
Power.
Let me repeat what you just said about Israel.
That's number one. Number one, you could be against the ruling government of a country and not be against the people. You could be against Obama.
But she doesn't say. But she is against. But you don't seem. What part of this do you not understand, Brett? She's not talking about the government of Israel.
I cannot be anti. Why can I not be against the ruling government and hate all the people when it comes to Israel? Why is it that I'm only trying to?
No, you don't hate the people. I take it you don't hate your. You don't want self annihilation.
I'm against the ruling power. If I'm against the ruling power of the United States, I'm not anti-American, am I?
No, but you don't. We don't. But you don't use the pejorative. It's all about the Benjamins, baby.
Thank
you.
He's trying to justify hate. Yes. I think that this is the left right now.
I wanted to hear that. I wanted our audience to hear it.
I must justify hatred now of other people. I mean, you can disagree with the government without hating it. I mean, this is the idea of comparing it to Nazi Germany. And so where you may have, you know, moments of appropriate righteous outrage against a government entity. And so you're trying to make these comparisons. You can hate this government of Israel. You can hate the Nazis. And you put this all on the line. You can hate the apartheid South African government. And that is what they're trying to do. It's okaying this kind of attitude.
Well, she was asked. Let's play her own sound here. This number 24.
You tweeted about Israel in 2012 during the offensive in Gaza. You wrote, Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. I wonder just what your message is this morning to Jewish Americans who find that deeply offensive.
That's a really a regrettable way of expressing that. I don't know how my comments would be offensive to Jewish Americans.
You don't? I mean,
at the same time, it's regrettable.
Yeah. I mean, it's regrettable, but she said it, and she's doubling down on it now. But you know what? What you just heard from that caller is the irrationality of the progressive left on this.
Yeah. Yeah, they do not want to be confused with the facts.
No. Nope.
They have a certain mindset. They have this, what they believe, and facts really, really are quite disconcerting to them. And it's hard to argue with someone who really... not only, you know, has their own opinions, they have their own set of facts.
Yeah. So here you are. All right. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. We are taking action. You can go over to ACLJ.org. There's a petition up. We'll get a letter off to the speaker. Let's get them on record on this. I don't think this is going away, by the way. I think the media, mainstream media is not going to, even the mainstream media, I don't think is going to let this one go away. I don't think so. What do you think?
I mean, David Duke is doubling down on these kind of statements. So, I mean, and that's who, you know, they're letting come back into the fray again. Is David the Duke's leader school. Of the KKK. No, literally, he said, you know, how could this not anti-Semitism be anti-Semitism? Mean, these are guys who are leaders. Leaders of the KKK are coming back into the American discussion again when they should be so isolated that they're not relevant.
But like you said, it's the Farrakhan thing. You say something against Minister Farrakhan, all of a sudden now you're anti-American. All right, that does it for the broadcast today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online aclj.org.